Welcome to the Lighthouse Church Sermon Podcast. Subscribe to this podcast to get easy access to the sermons preached on Sundays at Lighthouse Church. These messages are extracted from the live stream of our services, which can be found on our channel, My Lighthouse Vancouver, on YouTube. If you have any questions on these messages, feel free to send your comments or questions via email to info@ladnerlife.com. That's info@ladnerlife.com. Lighthouse Church is located in Metro Vancouver in beautiful British Columbia, Canada, and is affiliated with the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. Now, here is this Sunday's message.
Awesome, man. You're the best. Pete's the best, right? Huh? Driving a fair. He's too old now. He can't lift it up. sorry, Pete. Psalm 121. Are y'all get your Bibles out? Of course, we've got it on the overhead too. All right, Psalm 121. Yes. So my name's Ken, for those that probably may not know me or they're visiting or haven't met me before. So Ken is the name. All right, Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. The mountains. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? Good question, right? Starts off with a question. My help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will not slumber nor sleep. Good thing, isn't it? The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. Wow. This is the God we serve. All right. Next slide. Road trip. Huh? Road trip. Anybody been on a road trip this summer? Okay, I'm going to put it about to you. What is your favorite? Okay, what is your favorite road trip? Your favorite road trip ever? What is your favorite road trip activity? Maybe you have a favorite road trip song. So, going out to you. Tell me. Tell us. Somebody want to share favorite road trip?
Favorite road trip. Driving over the hospital with our first kid.
Over where? Home from the hospital. Okay. Good one. Deborah. Oh, yeah. Good one. Yeah, Jen. Quinnell. Quinnell, what was up? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Trip. Excellent. Yeah, I love Barkerville. Anybody? Through the Rockies. Okay, from BC to Alberta, through and up and down the Rockies. Not fun right now. No, not in Jasper, anyways. Yeah.
Maple Ridge on the bus and train system, which I have to say I am amazed at how cheap it is.
Where's this?
How cheap it is.
Oh.
The bus and
Oh, here?
Yeah.
Oh, not in England?
No, to make all better than England.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought England was better. What's King's Cross, is it?
King's Cross Station is a big
Yeah, you get anywhere from there.
Yeah.
Go to Paris, you can go to
Much
York.
More expensive, though.
Okay, fair enough. Greg, would you... Oh gosh, we all got fond or maybe not so fond memories. All right, mine was you've had lots of road trips and some good ones, very good ones. My most memorable one would probably be with me and my buddy. We're 19 years old. Hate to remember those days. 19 years old. I had hair like way. And I got thick hair, right? So it got into, and during the trip, it just got into a knot. I mean, there's a big knot in my hair, And so me and my buddy, he bought a 62 GMC milk truck van. You remember the old, young ones probably don't remember, but the delivery trucks back in the day and the milk truck van, right? It was a 62 GMC cargo van, slide door, had a slide door on the side, anyway. It was a V6, and top speed was like, going downhill with the wind at your back, 65 miles an hour, right? And we went from here, and I built a couple of bunks in the back. We got a Coleman stove and I think an ice box or something, and just packed up, sleeping bag. Off we went. 6 weeks we went from here to, and we were going across Canada. We got to PEI, and we got to the Nova Scotia border, and I didn't really want to go to the Nova Scotia. We got to the border, and you're thinking of the date, and I got to get back for work, blah, 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 blah. So anyways, we turned around and came back. Yeah. Favorite song? I don't know, Deep Purple? Anybody remember Deep Purple? Keep your hands on the wheel, your eyes upon the... Remember that one, Pete? Anyways, I don't know why I remember this. This is road trips. Okay, Psalm, why am I saying all of this? Well, the reason I'm saying this, if you read your Bibles, you'll see there's a little, what they call a superscription at the beginning of the Psalm, Psalm 121. Then it says a song of ascents. Now, if you go to Psalm 120, all the way to Psalm 134, you will find that little phrase, a song of ascents. Okay? So there's these 15 psalms. They were all songs that could be sung. This was a 15 songs that would have been... Okay, again, you got to understand the Jewish culture, the Jewish times, the ancient times. On an annual basis, they would travel. The Jews would travel. Family and everybody in tow with a donkey and all their belongings. They would travel from wherever they lived. They would go to Jerusalem. It's a road trip. All right? Some of them, would take a little longer because they were farther away. And I'm going to get back to this in a little bit here, but just to mention that, so it would take several days. So what would be the road activities, a road trip activity for them? Well, they would sing. They would break out in song. And they would be singing these 15 songs. Now, I mean, you have to use your imagination. We don't know exactly, how it all went. But, maybe somebody, some musician or something, got out the guitar or the lyre or whatever they would sing, and maybe a few drums or something. As they're traveling, and they would be, these would be the designated musicians, and they would break out in song, these 15 songs. And the whole caravan, okay, there's several, there could be, 50, 100 people all in a caravan from the same village, and they would break out into these songs. And, of course, the kids would learn them along the way, and they would, eventually learn them and join in, and there would be this grand chorus of singing, like they didn't have tape decks or, you know, whatever it was. We had 8-track, right, back in the day. Or, you know, you got all these, your phones, right? You just Bluetooth it to your system, and you know, automatically you got these songs you play during our road trips. Well, that's not the way it was. They participated as a group and broke out spontaneously. Or maybe it was in order, maybe, you know, at 10 o'clock, we're singing these 15 songs at 3 o'clock. You know, whatever, however it worked, this is what these group of psalms were for. Road trips. Road trip songs. And, of course, you remember Jesus, too. I mean, we're told the story of Jesus when he was 12 years old, right? He was in one of these caravans. And he would be part of this. He would be singing these songs. And, of course, you know, coming home from Jerusalem, from their annual road trip back to, was it Nazareth, Jesus was lost. And Mary and Joseph had to go back. So Jesus would have been very familiar with this. And I just want to take briefly to mention some of the content of these songs. Okay, so if you go to Psalm, if we were to read Psalm 120, it talks about the longing of the Jews who were in a far-off land, Arabia, south, or Asia Minor, to the, I guess it would be the northwest, southeast, northwest. So they were in these far-off lands, and they would begin their songs by singing that song, I'm longing. From a far-off distance, I'm longing to be with you, O God, in the temple in Jerusalem. I really suggest for you to go home, read all of them, and just sort of pick out some of the progressions. Psalm 127, 128, it's about the family. Very important that you sing about the family as you're on this journey. At the Psalm 134, it's about the exchanging of the guards in the temple, you know. So they're now in the temple as they would sing Psalm 134. So from long distance to being right in the temple, this is the songs they would be singing. So great songs, which would have been an immense reminders and encouragements. These are songs of encouragement for the often difficult journey, especially those, as you probably know, in your road trips when you had young families. Okay, let's piece some of the highlights of this song. Piece together some of the highlights. I've got three things here. So, next slide. There are three things I want to pick out. Three benefits, values, encouragements that this psalm in particular gives to us. There's the value of being made to look up. I looked up. What does it say? I lift my eyes. I lift my eyes to the mountains. I lift my eyes to the mountains. So the first thing that this psalm does, it encourages us to lift up our heads and our eyes. So there's great value of looking up. When you, I don't know, anybody, you've been on hikes and you've been going up onto a mountain or you know, into elevated territory, what is the position of your head? You're looking up. I mean, you're going to be looking down to see the trail, but you're all along the way, you'll be looking up. You'll be turning your head. Look up. Look up. Look up. So the very fact that these Jews would be, let's put it this way, Jerusalem had an elevation of about 3,000 feet above sea level, okay? And if you look on a map, there's a ridge of mountains that goes through Israel. Now, on the coast, west of Jerusalem, there is a what they call the foothills or the low-lying areas. They call it the Shephelah, That's the Jewish name for that area. And so people who would live down on the coast, they would be looking up to Jerusalem, to the mountains. There's a Kishon Valley, I think it is. Yeah, Kishon Valley that's just north, and a river would run through it just north of there. And so people who lived in that valley, as they're traveling, they would have to go from sea level to 3,000 feet. They would be looking up, traveling upwards. There's the Jordan Valley. So there's the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan Valley. Actually, there's Mount Hebron that's north of the Sea of Galilee, where the waters would flow down and waterfalls would come and empty into the Sea of Galilee. Sea of Galilee would run through the Jordan Valley, empty into the Jordan River, through the Jordan Valley, into the Dead Sea, what we know as the Dead Sea right now. The elevation is very interesting. The Dead Sea itself is the lowest elevation in the world. At, I think it's about 1,000 or 1,200 feet below sea level. The Jordan River, again, it flows from the Sea of Galilee. Sea of Galilee is probably, I think they said, 700 feet below sea level. So if you're going, if you lived in the Jordan Valley, you lived around the Sea of Galilee, which Jesus did, you're going from about 700 feet below sea level to Jerusalem. You're traveling up to 3,000 feet. You're an elevation of 3,700 feet, 4,000 feet. Now, again, if you've done any hiking, that's a hike, going up all those ways, all that way. So they would be forced to look up as they traveled along their journey and with their families. Well, let's look. What are the benefits of looking up? Well, physically, I've got sort of the scoliosis going on in my back. I've had it for years. So I've got a little bit of a curvature of the back, right, as maybe some of you do as you get older. What's the benefit for me physically to look up? Well, it straightens my back up physically. So, throughout the day, I have to do this. Just consciously, I have to do this to straighten up my back a bit. It's a benefit, physically. What is the psychological benefit of looking up? Well, I Googled that, right? And seriously, there is a thing. So I just I looked at Google. What is the benefits of looking up? Well, I ran into this thing called, this is a real thing, Skycology. It's a real thing. Part of the psychology that they teach nowadays. Skycology. It's the psychological benefit of looking up to the sky. It's a therapy. It's a psychological therapy, looking up to the sky. Now, we live in Tuason. We're the sunniest part of the Lower Mainland, Canada, right? And we have this lovely backyard deck, and we have these lovely cedar trees. And during this time of year, my wife and myself, we just love to sit out on our deck and look up. And the contrast, especially on a sunny day, it's a blue sky, and contrasted against the green, lush green cedar trees. It just, there's something about it. We look up and say, yeah, we're so blessed, we're so fortunate, we're so lucky to be there and just being able to look up and see the blue and the green and just, there's a bit of a therapy in all of that. Skycology. Now I know what it is called, skycology. So there is this benefit, skycology. They say through four things it does. It increases the feeling of calm, psychologically. It sparks, looking up, it sparks a meditative sense, secondly. Thirdly, they say it reduces stress and anxiety. And so I read this: the color blue has been found to significantly lower stress levels and heart rate, so looking up to the blue sky can reduce feelings of anxiety. Ah, great. And also it said looking up to mountains can do the same, have the same effect. And of course, the fourth thing it says, it gets you outside. Another thing it said, one of the most profound responses to stress is our vision. Did you know, and you probably didn't, as I didn't, that when we're under stress, our pupils actually dilate and our lens goes into a, like, you know, in the phone, a portrait mode? That's what our eye, under stress, when we're under stress, this is what our eyes do. It goes into a portrait mode so that all we see is this vision of a small little area. And our eyeballs will rotate slightly to the nose, so we go cross-eyed when we're under stress. It's funny, yeah, I guess. So we focus on a single location, and all the other images around us are blurred. So when we're under stress, we're just focusing in on whatever we're under stress, and everything else is blurred. Stress controls our field of vision. But when we look up panoramically, we override this default stress response and can start calming down on a psychological level. So the best thing for us when we're under stress is to look up. Look up. Now, the spiritual application. There are many scriptures that talk to us about looking up or lifting up our eyes. I'm going to read a few scriptures. Psalm 24. This is one of the best psalms that talks about lifting up our eyes. And, of course, we can't go. I'm just going to read it. Just give you a sense. It begins, Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. So we're looking up and seeing God of creation. Verse 3, who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Same, you know, who can ascend? Who can take the journey up to see the Lord? And then it goes on. Verse 7, lift up your heads, O you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, the King of glory may, so that the King of glory may come in. Wow. Now, this is a psalm about the journey from Egypt to Jerusalem, and it celebrates the victory of the glory of God, which was represented by the mercy seat. The temple's now been made, and now we're bringing in the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat, which is, represents the glory and the presence of God. They're celebrating that long 400-year journey. God is now victorious and seated on the where he needs to be, in Jerusalem, in the temple, in his proper place. Lift up your heads and see the King of glory come in. Psalm 3, verse 3. But you are a shield. You, God, are a shield around me, O Lord. You bestow glory on my head, and you lift up my head. You lift up my head. Now, we've all been on through our journey. We're all on part of this journey. We're pilgrimages going through the journey of life. We've all had our difficult times, our trials, our problems. And there's times that we get, you know, it seems like we're blindsided from every side. Front, you know, it's coming from the front. It's coming from both sides. It's coming from behind. You know, we're just one thing after another. You've had your moments. And it's like, you know, where's your head? Right? We're looking down and our head's drooping. And it is that at that moment that God, in his great mercy, comes along, according to verse 3 here. God does this to us. You know, have you ever had that moment? You know, even, you know, spouses or, you know, loved ones or something, you know, you're going like that, and then they said, no, come. You know, and they just gently nudge your head upwards, right? This is what God does to us. You know, in those moments when we're going through it, God will come to us in his great love, in his great mercy, and say, you know, say your name, Kent. Just look. He'll give me this gentle nudge and to look up. To look up. I'm not going to take this time, but Luke 21, 25, verse, you know, he talks about looking up, for your redemption draws nigh. Look up, Jesus says, look up, for your redemption draws near. And he talks about, you know, sort of the end times, the troubles that are coming in the end times. He says, look up. Look up. We see wars. We see famines. We see, you know, fires around us. We see floods. Look up. Your redemption is drawing nigh. Jesus tells us to look up. So Psalm 121 reminds the travelers who have all of their kids around us, traveling with their grandparents, who probably, you know, they're slowing the trip down a little bit, to keep looking up, especially at the start of their difficult annual journey. Look up. It reminds us to turn our focus from the things that keep our eyes focused downwards. And one of the, and I'm not going to, you know, go on a rant or anything, but this technology that we have nowadays, you know, with people with phones, where are they looking? They're looking down, right? We have to be disciplined. You know, as Christians particularly, we need to be disciplined. And with our phones, they're good technology, but we have to be smart. They're smartphones, but we have to be smart about them, right? And we have to, not be looking down. Let's look up. Let's look up. I mean, God has done a work in me because, you know, we're all human. We get into our moments, right? But God has challenged me over the last few months to fast my phone. So one day a week, I will, I'm a news junkie, and I get onto my phone, and I'm reading all the news stuff, right? And guess what that does to my spirit? Not too much for it. Not encouraging. So God has challenged me. Take one day a week. Stop it. Just look up. Look up. Now, part of the journey would also talk about the value of symbols and signposts. All right? Symbols, signposts. There's some symbols that we're probably more familiar with. There's the praying hands, right? We often, it's a sign, a symbol of encouragement. There's a signpost that we see along the way. There's my grandson giving me the thumbs up, you know, two thumbs up. I mean, it's a symbol, right, of encouragement. And then there's the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud. And I'm going to get that into, I'll get to that in a bit. So what are we going to see when we look up? For the Jewish pilgrims, it was the Temple Mount where God's presence was. So they would look up to the mountains. They would pinpoint where Jerusalem was. They would know that the temple there, the Temple Mount is on top of that mount, top of that hill. And that would be a sign of encouragement, presence of God. It reminded them the presence of God. And the psalmist directs their focus one step further to beyond the temple to the skies and the earth. Verse 2. You know, you look up to the mountains, but then who do you see? You're reminded of God. Who is God? He's the maker of heaven and of earth. Points them to God as they're traveling along. As they would sing this song, this is what they would be reminded of. And God will come and be present and have a very intimate and personal presence along the journey in their caravans, as they're traveling along with their families, as they're sleeping at night. This would be the encouragement for them as they travel along. What are the signs and symbols for us as New Testament believers? Well, Luke 4, we are told the story of Jesus, baptism. What was the symbol that came down upon Jesus as he was being baptized? A dove. It was a visible. They saw the Holy Spirit come down in the form of a dove. It was a symbol, a sign that God was residing in Jesus and the Spirit was coming into him. In Acts chapter 2, when the early Christians were meeting in the upper room, 100 of them or so, what happened to them? What did they see? Tongues of fire. You know those. You know what a tongue of fire is, right? So they see this fire, and it was visible. This is not a mythical, Aesop story. This happened. They saw the tongues of fire separating and coming upon the believers. It was a symbol, a sign. It's a sign for you and I as we read these stories. It's a sign for you and I. What do we have? We have the Holy Spirit. Paul talks about the Holy Spirit. Remind him, Luke, Romans 8, Ephesians 1, Philippians 3:10, that I might know Christ, the power of his resurrection. 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. Holy Spirit power. And love and a disciplined mind. So Paul references the Spirit and reminds us these are the symbols that are going that are for us as New Testament believers. As Psalm 121 would have encouraged the Israelites and the Jews in their travels, annual travels. This is a reminder to us as we travel through our lives, as we travel through our difficulties, as we travel through the circumstances of our lives. We have the Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. It's here. A mind controlled by the Spirit, life and peace, Romans 8. There are symbols and signposts for us all around us which are useful for our encouragement. In the church, there's baptism, there's communion, there's church fellowships, there's Bible stories, scriptures, verses, passages, favorite song, friends, memories, speaking in tongues. It's a sign of encouragement for us, speaking in tongues if you have that gift. So there are the encouraging values and benefits of symbols and signposts along the way. Finally, there's the value of history itself. The rest of the psalm that we read this morning speaks of the memory of the 40-year wilderness wanderings. That the next, the value of history, the value of a story. The memory of going through the wilderness, 40 years in the wilderness, and the most significant signpost and symbol for the Jews during those 40 years was the pillar of fire by night and the cloud of God's glory during the day. Now picture yourself, imagine yourself going through from Egypt down into the Sinai and up through and ending up in Jerusalem, 40 years. It's desert. It's mountainous. It's hot during the day, right? It's hot during the day. What's the best thing for a hot day in the desert? It's a cloud. God provided a cloud for them every day, shading them. From the heat of the day in the desert. What happens at night in the desert? Gets cold. What did God provide for them? Column of fire. I mean, most of us have been camping, right? And camping, where at night and gets a little cool, what do? Well, when there's not a band on, what do we do? fire. He just, you know, keep us warm. God provided a campfire for them. 40 years, every night. Warmth during the night. They would look back to those memories. They'd look back to that story. Like we can look back to that story and say, yes, this is the God we serve. He provides shade for the day. He provides a fire during the night. The sun will not harm us by day. The moon will not harm us by night. This is the memory that the psalmist and that the pilgrims are singing about, the travelers are singing about. Protection during the day, provision of heat for the freezing desert nights. Well, what are the things can we look at for history that gives us value? They're valuable for us. Well, biographies are a good way for us, using history as personal encouragement. We can read about the early martyrs, Christian martyrs. We can read about the early Protestants, Martin Luther. Just read his history. It's amazing. We were privileged to have a journey to Germany a couple years ago, and we went through where Luther was, the church, and where the castle where he had to hang out to escape some of the persecutions. It was very, very cool. I've just finished reading a biography by Abraham Lincoln. He was a believer. He would, you know, Lincoln would get up early in the morning and start reading his Bible and praying, because he was under an immense amount of stress during those civil wars. More recently, I've read Dietrich Bonhoeffer during Second World War in Germany. Just an amazing man. And even more recent, we can read biographies about Martin Luther King, who had to trust in God through his many stressful times during the uprising in the 60s. And of course, our own history. Our own history. And I want to end with a few stories about my own history and how God has provided through our journey. 2006, so that's 18 years ago, we moved from Vanderhoof. Straighten my back. Look up. We moved from Vanderhoof 2006, so 18 years ago. And one of the last services that we had in our church, we had the family from Kenya, and very, very, very lovely family. And the mom was visiting, and she was there during the service. Now, she didn't speak English. But at the end of the service, I think it was the daughter-in-law or the son or something, they came up to me and said, my mom wants to give you a message. She has a message from you. And her message was, you're going home. That was it. You're going home. Okay, I'm going home. Didn't really mean anything to me. We're moving. We're going home. You know, we're moving. That going home. Anyway, so, you know, you sort of put that in the back of your mind and you let it, you know, stay there. So we'd done our move. And we came back and started fellowshipping with the church here. And probably, I can't say, maybe 2 months in, a month, 2 months, after one of our morning services, Jackie LeSueur, you know, God bless her wonderful, wonderful Liverpudlian soul. She comes up to me, says, "The Lord wants to say something to you." And she just comes up to me, you know, okay, Jackie, you know, you're home, she says. She says, I don't know why, you know, this is what the Lord wants me to tell. You're home. And she had no clue about this. You're home. I thought, wow. And I've often thought of that God was moving us. And, you know, in the midst of all your moves, and, you know, I mean, I was, 50 at the time and still young and restless. Young and restless at 50. My wife could tell you. You know, you're thinking, oh, you know, I'm still... you know, maybe I'll go past, because we were pastoring at the time, you know, maybe we'll continue to look for pastoring. And we did, you know, for, I don't know, I probably went for at least 6-8 interviews for church positions during the next few years after that. But I always go back to that message and Jackie saying, you're home. And God would just, yeah, he wants us here. He wants us doing what we're doing. You're home. Wow. It's a beautiful encouragement. And then we come to our last huge trial with Jeff. Little story about that. And most of you remember that. For you that don't know, our son, Jeff, about three and a half years ago now, he passed away. And prior to that, a year prior to that, he'd gone through some, 2 years prior to that, he had the, you know, that fateful news that he had cancer. And they'd removed everything. And anyways, a year and a half after that, I think, he ended up in the hospital with a tumor at the stem of his brain. And he went in, and that fateful day, you know, the doctor says, your son's not going to, he's not going to, that tumor has burst, and, he, you know, it's just got pressure on the brainstem, which is the center of all your, you know, your organs, really. And, you know, it's just, the pressure's going to build, and, you know, we don't expect him to last the night. And of course, many of you lovely people came and just were there all night long with us, praying, and you know, blah 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 blah, right? And the next morning we get this news. Well, you know, the doctors have decided. You know, he just sort of was in a coma, but induced coma, I think. And but they said, you know, the next morning they said, well, you know, he still got his vital signs, they're still strong, blah, blah, blah. We're going to do, you know, if you want, we can do radiation and everything else. So, yeah, okay, let's go for it, right? And so we were all quite rejoicing. They sent him off to Royal Columbian and, you know, there for a few weeks, and then he's on his road, as we thought at the time, road to recovery. Now, after that night, or that, you know, fateful night, we have my grandkids deliver papers. Well, you know, at that time, we're all in a dither, so I, you know, grandkids don't have to do the paper. I'll do the paper. So, you know, and that was a Thursday. I think that all that stuff happened on a Tuesday or something. I can't remember the exact date, but anyways, Thursday or Friday that I'm delivering this paper, and I start this paper route, and you know, and I say, oh Lord, can you give me a sign? Can you give me a sign? And my words were exactly this. Can you give me a sign that Jeff's going to be okay? Now, looking back, can I say, you know, can I look back and say, God, can you heal him completely? But he said, Jeff's going to be okay. This is my words in my mind. Lord, can you give me a sign that Jeff's going to be okay? Now, you know, walking through, you know, now I'm looking up the skies. You know, is there an eagle up there? Is there a cloud up there? You know, God's going to give me a sign. Oh, this is really silly. Yeah, just a silly prayer, I thought. Okay. So I just forgot, you know, again, forget about it. Just do the paper route. So I'm doing the paper route and forgot about all that silly little prayer that I thought. And I just dropped my last paper off at the customer. And I'm walking down the driveway. And this bus, you know, it's 4th Avenue in Tawasin. It's just sort of on that curve as it goes up. And this bus stops. And there's no bus stop there. I mean, but this bus stops. And well, that's kind of strange, right? And all of a sudden, the driver opens the window slide and pokes out his head. It's Lawrence Brand. Remember Lawrence Brand? Yeah, we all know Lawrence Brand. He's driving the bus. He looks out, goes like this, waves to me. Pray. Oh, Lord. Now, what's the chance of all that happening all at once, right? God, that's a sign. Jeff's going to be okay. Now, we're all left with a lot of why questions. We don't know the why questions. And so that was, you know, about a year, a little a little more than a year later, you know, Jeff passes away. He'd been in the hospital, and this is COVID too. COVID hit. And it was one of those, you know, God's stuff's coming out. The trials are coming to left, right, center, backwards. You know, we're just being hit. We're just being hit. And so anyways, we would visit Jeff, and they'd give us half an hour, right, to visit him. And the very last words that Jeff said to me, these are the exact words he said to me. Dad, I'm going to be okay. Dad, I'm going to be okay. And he is okay. I mean, we're not okay with all this stuff. He said, Dad, I'm going to be okay. That was his last words. God was providing words, signposts, symbols of encouragement. We all had these stories. My very last story of Annie Gawa. She was just a lovely Gitxsan indigenous lady, First Nations, lived in Kispiox. And this is when we were in Hazelden, pastoring in Hazelden, you know, 30 years ago or more. And I remember this story. And I'm going to go the last, is there the last slide there? Though so there's a picture of Hazelden, the mountain at Hazelden. It's called Mount Rocher de Boule. Now, Annie was just a short little thing and just a lovely, lovely individual. And her whole family were lovely. Just pleasant, always had a smile on their face, encouraging, never complaining. Annie lost her, it might have been her oldest son, I can't remember exactly the details. And she had about four or five boys, and they were all adults at the time. And Annie lost, I think the oldest one, Leonard Jr. Annie and Len, her husband, Annie and Leonard Gawa. She lost her, and I think it was a car accident. You know, so it's one of those instant, she lost her son. And I remember Annie going through her grief and her mourning. And one of the stories she relates to during that time as she's just grieving, she worked in the, I think it's either the kitchen or the laundry in the hospital, Rinch Memorial Hospital. And at her work desk, I guess, there's a window. And her window faced south. And this is what she saw. She saw Mount Rocher de Boule out the window. And to her, that was a symbol. And she would quote Psalm 121, verse 1. Well, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where does my help come from? And she saw the mountain, and it was a symbol for God. My help comes from God, maker in heaven and earth. And it got her through. It was a sign. It was a symbol. It helped her. We all have those. And we look up to our Heavenly Father. What do children and fathers, what is their relationship? You know, especially young children. You know, children look up to their father. Say, Daddy, right? Daddy, I need something. Can you help me? And they look up, and they raise up their hands. Daddy, I need something. Can you help me? And we have that same relationship, father-child relationship. We look up. So whatever you're going through this morning, look up. Your Heavenly Father is there. He's there. He's here this morning. Look up. Where does your help come from? Look up to the Father this morning. You're his son. You're his daughter. Look up with your eyes. Raise your hands. Daddy, Father, Heavenly Father, I need you to get me through. I need your encouragement. Whatever your need might be this morning, look up to your Heavenly Father. Look up. Look up. I wasn't going to have a song, but we're... Guys, do you want to come back up? Where's Ray? Ray, you here? He's not here?
He's all the way up back.
I won't bother you. But that song we sang, you know, about the hallelujah, lifting up our hands. I don't think. Can you? Okay. Yay, Anthony. And that may that be your prayer this morning. You know, whatever your need may be, maybe you know other people around you that are going through it. Pray on their behalf. They would look up. They would look up. And let's just lift our hands, our voices, even, you know, let's look up physically. The Spirit will come.
Hi, I'm Pastor Danny, the lead pastor at Lighthouse Church. I hope that this message has been an encouragement to you and helped you in your journey with God. At Lighthouse Church, we believe that Jesus came so that we could have life and that life to the fullest. Our resources, teaching, and ministries are designed to help us flourish in life. And if there's any way we can help you, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. You'll find all the information you need at LadnerLife.com. That's www.LadnerLife.com. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast so you can be notified each time another message or resource comes available. Till next time, be blessed, live well.